Professor, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Church Planner. This is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And I made it back from Comic California.
Yeah, I was really shocked you were there, but we were like two ships passing in the night. I went to Orlando, which means I flew over your house, and you came to California.
First time since we left.
That's since the Exodus.
Yeah. And
you're not supposed to go back to Egypt, Pete. You know,
well, I was afraid I was going to turn to a pillar of salt. That was a genuine fear that I had.
Yeah. What did happen?
I only got mugged three times and stepped in human feces once, so I thought it was a good trip.
Yeah, you got a couple of trunk jackins in there, did you?
So we were actually just back to visit my family. My parents they live in the San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, they're getting up there in age and their health is definitely, you know, not good. So they can't make it out to Texas. Like they did it once. And I think that was almost like too much for them. And even seeing them on this trip, I was telling my wife, I'm like, yeah, there's no way. Like, I don't think we realized just how bad, like, they are physically.
That's sad, man. Your parents, you know, I like your parents. They're cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's a part of life, right? And it's part of life, and it's, you know, it is what it is.
Part of the circle of life, Pete. I've seen Lion King.
Dude, I heard something really funny about Lion King, man. What was it? It was something about, I don't know. I have to go back and re-listen. I think the thing was like, you got to listen to the song and listen to what it's actually saying about the circle of life, and it's kind of funny when you look at it, but I just remember someone going, you remember how Simba was all upset when his dad gets killed? And they're like, come on, he wasn't that upset. 5 seconds before, he was singing about, I just can't wait to be king. And all of a sudden, his dad's killed and he's king.
Woohoo!
I thought that was so funny.
So I'm one of the few people on planet Earth that did not like Lion King as a
kid. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't like it. I do like the stampede scene. That scene is cool. Like, you know, when his dad saves him and his dad dies. But the rest of it, I always feel like it's missing an act. Like it just it was like, did you guys just get tired of making cartoon footage? Like, I know it's a lot to draw, but it feels like it suddenly jumps and then it's like, okay, the end. I've always had always felt like I'm missing part of the story when I watch it. It's too rushed for me to get to the conclusion in the end.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. I honestly never looked that deeply into it.
Yeah. But I mean, people love it. And I'm like, yeah, it's meh. You know, the one I love though is the one nobody likes. And it's clearly not made for kids. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, you know, I don't know that I ever really watched it.
Don't watch it with the kids.
Really?
Yeah, he's got the priest or the bishop or whatever he is. He has this song about how he's burning for lust with lust for Esmeralda. And it's called like Unquenchable Fire or something like that. It's really bad. And you're like, dude, like, this is kind of a weird thing to be having in a kid's cartoon.
Interesting.
But yeah. But it's actually really good. And the hunchback does not get the girl because he's ugly. That's how life works.
so it's more true to life. Is that what you're
telling me? Like this hunchback, like totally protects her, watches over all her life. And then, you know, saves her at the end. And then she goes for the hot guy. And you're like, okay, well, I guess that's kids.
She's like,
let this movie be a life lesson to you.
She's like, I just want to be friends.
Pretty much. That's what she's like. You're in the friend zone, Quasimodo.
Wow, dude. Now I actually want to go see this stinking movie.
And apparently the gargoyles in it, which I did not know this, the gargoyles are really cool. But apparently recently, Disney came back and they retro edited. Are they transgender or LGBTQ? And you're like, dude, they're stone gargoyles. What are you talking about? But Disney is like, yeah, we've been going back to some of the movies and injecting gayness into them. So that's what they've been doing. So you're like, yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah, I read a whole article about this, but I don't see it.
I heard they were trying to do the same thing with Star Wars between Han and Chewie.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. Oh.
There were questions about Lando, you know, I mean, maybe his Lando. Maybe his flirting with Leia was a cover, you know, he was quite the snazzy dresser, I tell you.
Dude, no, I was reading this thing that Han and Chewie, what they were really trying to describe was a man and his dog.
Yes.
And they're like going through the whole thing like, well, then why does Obi-Wan, you know, he's talking to Chewie when he's trying to get, you know, passes to Alderaan. And like this guy on the meme starting to go through and he goes, wait a second, Han's the dog. Chewie's the human.
Dude, absolutely. So Han flies it, but he can't fix it. It's Chewbacca fixes everything.
Right.
So like he's the mechanic. It's kind of funny. Now, can you imagine if your dogs could do things like that, like the dishwasher breaks? And like talk about, you know, the future and technology, you know, if they put a computer chip in your dog's brain, okay, FEMA, don't come after me. And I know you listen. But you know,
I think you mean PETA, not FEMA. PETA?
Who's FEMA? Which one's FEMA?
Federal Emergency something Act or Association or something like that.
Yeah, don't you guys come after us either. All right. But anyways, okay, PETA, don't come after us. But you know, they put a computer chip in your dog's brain. All of a sudden, like your dog is super smart and it can do things like you're like, dude, hey, what's your dog's name?
My dog is Billy or Zoe.
All right, Zoe, make me some dinner. Billy, hey, that fridge light ain't going to fix itself. I'm just saying, like, can you imagine if your pets could do things like around the house instead of laying around all day, they were actually contributing to the family? But they can't talk. They still can't talk.
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought that's what kids were for.
That's a good point. I have nothing to respond to that with.
I'm just going
to
say that's
well played. Well played, Mitchell. Well, I had something happen last week.
What?
Ooh, this on St. Patrick's Day, which, by the way, technically is kind of a Welsh holiday because St. Patrick was Welsh. And I know we get St. David's Day, which is the Welsh patron saint on March 1st. But on St. Patrick's Day, the other Welsh holiday, my book dropped. Oh, my books.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. And
that was a double cha-ching.
It has to be now if I talk about the books, cha-ching, cha-ching. But yeah, so Discipology dropped and Journey to Disciple Making dropped. Both books dropped. And Discipology is the one we've been marketing. But man, it is just, it outsold all the books in the conference, number one. Zarnovan reached out and said, you guys were, We had them bring 600 books, and we sold out, and all but 10. But, I mean, technically we sold out because people were buying books in bulk, and people were like, oh, I don't want to, my suitcase is full, I don't want to. So we underwrote the cost of whatever we didn't sell. That was our commitment to Zondervan, because I can never get them to bring more than a couple cases, and they sell out on the first day every year. And people are like, oh, I went down to Zondervan to get your book. But people were hungry, man. Like our sessions were packed down the hallway. Like it was crazy. The guy who runs the facility is like, man, this has happened the last couple of years, but he's like, next year, you guys need a bigger room. So it was cool, man. Everything went well. The book keeps hitting number one or staying at number one bestseller in this category, that category. So it's been cool, man. It's been really nice for me because this is the first book I've written that is not a church planning book. You know, it's for everybody. Everybody needs this.
They do. Do you think I'll read it?
I think you'll listen to it on Audible just to find out where your name is in it.
Well, I do have the Kindle version.
Oh, well, there you go.
Can I do a search? Google
search, Pete Mitchell. Yeah.
Is it going to be like, I got to search for Pete because Mitchell's on the next page?
No, I fulfilled my obligation to put you on two pages, which if you guys don't know, I left Pete out of, I put him copiously in my first book, left him out of my second. It was an oversight. So on Church Plantology, I promised him he'd be on two pages. So in the acknowledgments, I had the typesetter put Pete on the end of one page and Mitchell.
You had the typesetter. Yeah, I love how this was somehow planned by you.
Yes.
And not just the luck of how they stuck it in the book.
No, it's totally engineered.
Right.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that I'm not even a thought on the back of your head.
You underestimate my power. little throwback to Anakin there. But yeah, Pete, on this one, I gave you a very nice acknowledgement. I don't remember what I said.
That's
what I happen to have the book right here. Let's read it.
Dude. Okay, guys, you got to understand, this is an audio podcast. However, we record on Zoom and Peyton's literally like setting the book in the backdrop so it can be seen over his shoulder while we're doing the podcast as you know if why? Someone's going to watch this other than Brooks.
Because the gremlins take our video and show it anyways. You know that, right? Like they do show it. So I can't talk because I'm on day two of no caffeine. I don't know.
Why are you on day two? Or would you give it up for Lent?
Dude, I work so good when I stop drinking coffee. And it hurts for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then it's like a dream. I work and I went back on it for the book. Where are my acknowledgments? Oh, yes, I forgot them this time and put them in the book. Oh, sorry, Pete. You're not in here. Hold on, here we go. Where was I? After my very long conclusion. Oh, there is a Pete mentioned first, but it's not you. Let's see.
See, now you're going to make me pull out my Kindle. I'm just going to have to Google myself.
Uh-oh.
Did I not make it?
Uh-oh. This would be bad.
I didn't make it. Again.
I know. Oh, wait a sec. Actually, wait a second. This can't be right.
There were no results found for Pete Mitchell.
I found another Pete. Oh, excuse me. You are the second Pete. You're right under the first Pete. Pete Maverick Mitchell. Thanks for wasting time with me every week on the podcast. I think we're occasionally useful to people.
I'm on page 321.
You are.
And I literally am underneath another Pete.
And there's even a Pete after you.
There are no other Petes above me.
There shall be no Petes after me either. But there is a Pete after you. There's Peter Jeffrey, who was Lloyd Jones's protege and my mentor.
Oh my gosh, dude. All right. I don't need to go any further. I've read every part of the book that I need to read.
You're like, I think I'll send the Kindle back for a refund. They can tell I didn't read it. You are going to leave me a review though, right?
Of course.
If,
I'm going to say page 321, the second Pete is the best quote in the book. Everyone should go read that.
I will say that if you want to pay it forward in any way on this podcast, don't do anything for Pete, just for me. But what I would love for you to do is if you bought the book on Amazon like Pete did, please, please, please go leave a review and kick it up an algorithm. The 100 reviews that I get actually they will help people find the book, and it'll keep the book front and center in front of people. And I don't ask that for, you'll see in today's topic, I don't ask that for selfish reasons. I ask it because it's a tool that I think people need, but it leads to something that everyone can use for free. And I really want leaders to catalyze their congregations. And this, the Black Book, Discipology, is a catalyst guide for starting a movement of disciple making. The White Book, Journey to Disciple Making, is for everyday believers who want to chronicle their own journey and, you know, train.
Let me ask you, the second book, is that published through whoever, what is it, Zondervan?
Zondervan, yeah. They gave me a double book deal on this one. Yeah, they were so good to me, man. I bragged on them. They sponsored our lunch, and I just kept saying, Zondervan kept saying yes to things that they should not have said yes to. Like, for example, they gave us the foreign rights so we could give it to the mission field. Someone's already working on translating it into Spanish. That'll be free. They gave me the two books. Once I explained Catalyst Guide, this and that, they gave me that. They just kept saying yes over and over to things. And I did not know that Zondervan, as a company, for every NIV Bible they sell, every bit of the profits that they get off those Bibles goes to translating the NIV into other languages, which, I mean, who does that, right? The Bibles are going to be their number one bestseller, so they didn't have to do that. But there's just a lot about that company I love.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, should we get into today's topic?
Well, I suppose we should.
Praise God. It's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Oh, that's... Dude, I was just thinking, I miss you on Fortnite.
Oh, I got to get back on.
I have, you know, I drive the DeLorean now.
Oof.
I have my loading screen is Marty McFly getting out of the DeLorean, Doc Brown, and then, of course, Peely's there. So and that's why I thought of it, even though I did the horrible Doc Brown impression. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did a kind of bad Nacho Libre. But yes, I will come back. Come back to me, Peyton. I will. I am now done with the book and I'm through the marketing phase, although it's podcast city right now for me.
Is it? Are you doing a lot of podcasts?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing almost one a day. So that's a lot for me. But yeah. So I got more time. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's do it.
Nice. I dig it.
Cool. All right. Well, today's topic, boys and girls, is Discipology app. I need to be better at titles. There's an app for that. That's what they say about everything. What if there were an app for not only discipleship, but disciple making? Well, many of you know, but many of you also don't know that I work for an app called Through the Word. And Through the Word is 10-minute audio guides, every chapter of the Bible. Free, always going to be free. No ads. We don't market you. It's just, boom, like it's there. We just want to help you develop a Bible habit. And I am the one of two main teachers on that app. So I always like to tell people they give me the books that nobody wants. But let's talk about the app today, because what I keep trying to explain to people is Discipology is more than a book or two books. Discipology is we call it the Discipology Project around here, because what it actually is a disciple-making catalyst. And what we want to do, like the books are just tools. You don't need them to actually do the thing, right? Anytime you try to gate movement behind a paywall, if you try to gate it behind anything except for people, it's not going to be a movement. So a paywall and a book, if I tell a bunch of young people, because it's there's a youth organization right now that's taking it on, if I try to get it behind a book, it's not going to go anywhere. But at the same time, if I make it so that it's super easy to use and it holds your hand and walks you through, you could just catalyze people right now. And I want to kind of say something that nobody wants to hear on here. Leaders you are the bottleneck to disciple making movement. And by the way, when I say disciple making movement, I do not mean DMM, disciple making movements. I've been trying to say movements of disciple making because DMM really focuses on going fast, right? Like you study the DMMs, it's all about speed, which to me is what the mistake Paul made in Galatians, because if you study DMMs, and people are, heresy is spreading faster than the gospel. So you get the Galatians heresy if you only focus on tactics, but don't spend time in teaching with people. That's what Paul did in his first missionary journey. Then he had to relearn, oh, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus went slow. He spent a year just spending time with these guys. And then he hit his teaching circuit, and then he sent them out as missionaries. Okay, so that's what Paul does in Ephesus on his third missionary journey. He just copies Jesus, and you can trace his trajectory of doing that. But so what I mean is, if a movement's going to happen, there's another bottleneck, not just money, a paywall, not just reading a book, but the other bottleneck is leaders. If this whole thing is dependent on motivating a leader and getting a leader to do something, we're in trouble. And I would say it's half the battle. Catalysts are important. There's always one catalyst, but they're not always a leader. But here's the thing. What we've done with the app, it's through the Word, but it's the Discipology plan on through the Word. And it's live right now. Like if you want to find out, you know, how do I get that? You just type in Through the Word on the App Store, or you can go to throughtheword.org. The Discipology plan has not been announced, but it's there. For people to have the journal, there's a QR code. Takes them to that day's training. Everything that's in the book is also on the app. It's just written different. And the book is a thing of beauty. What the book has is it has like journal entries for you to chronicle your own journey of transformation into a disciple maker. Because here's what people don't realize. When Jesus took the disciples out, they weren't making disciples in year two. They were being made into disciple makers. That's why Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. And they just watched that year. They're getting trained. It's in the third year when he sends them out on the missionary journey. That's when they actually do. That's when they begin to make disciples. And when they make the disciples, he sends out the 12. They come back. When he sends out the 72, scholars think that those 72 most likely came from that first missionary journey. And so it's pretty exciting when you get into it. But you as the leader, nobody wants to hear this. You are the bottleneck. You're the one that's probably stopping disciple making movements because you're busy and you're thinking, oh, I got my church calendar and I got this and that going on. Now, church planners, you're probably a little different, right? You're probably like, oh, hey, yeah, I could do that right now. And you probably got your day job. You're around believers all the time. So what we've been telling people, and you can go to discipology.com and you can actually get the app there. That's probably the easiest. But what we have on there is we have actually something you can copy and text to people. And then
let me ask you, is it a separate app than Through the Word?
No, but when you go in, it's almost like a closed system. It's just Discipology when you click on the link. So it's not like you show up and there's that whole smorgasbord of stuff. At the end, you'll see that. Like we kind of hand you off to Through the Word, like, hey, now that you've been making disciples with your non-believing friend, like, boom, continue the journey. And here's the wide, like when you invite them into John, they go straight into John, the non-believer, but the whole thing is, you know, it's all there. So they can poke around and peek around, but it's pretty cool because we tell you at the end, hey, why don't you start a Bible habit? Continue on. So we're actually starting digital small groups with this, with new believers. non-believers turn to new believers. So the way that it works, let me kind of give the 10,000 foot view. First off, you're going to have 28 days of training, right? 4 weeks, 4 sevens. First week, intro. What is disciple making? So much misunderstanding about it. Second week, time, the time rhythm of Jesus's disciple making. Third week, teaching. Fourth week, tactics. And so you go on the same journey that Jesus took the disciples on. And at the end of those 4 weeks, you basically, you and your two, because on day one, this is day one now, day one, we say, find your disciple-making partner. And there's a reason we do that. That's actually super important, because your disciple-making partner is your two. Jesus always sent you two by two. So you train with someone, and then you do it with someone. Like you will invite eventually a non-believer between the two of you in. You might invite two, but it's probably easier to invite one. But what often happens is multiple people do come, because someone says, hey, this is rad. Can my brother come? Can my friend, or can my coworker? Or if you're doing it with a coworker, they come too. So it's just how it works. And what I would say is, as you go to discipology.com, and let's say you go in, this is what we're asking people. Pick three people as a leader, pick three people that you see potential in, and invite them. Send them this text. Hey, download this app. I'll explain later. This is, going to help us with disciple making, something like that. It's all in there. You'll see. It's plug and play. Takes you to it. You go, you get in there, and on day one, it says, hey, pick your two. So each one of those three potential disciple makers is going to pick someone else, and you're going to have six. Now, we beta tested this. We even had a guy, one of the guys on through the Word team, he works with the youth group. He immediately tried it, because he's like, I'm just going to try this. And boom, it happened overnight. Like, he met with six people. And so now you've got three teams of six disciple makers, right? There are two each, three teams of two, six people total. And you might be like, okay, where's this come from? Well, go back to John 1, start where Jesus started. That's what this whole thing is all about, is disciple making in the way of Jesus. And the first thing that Jesus did was he had dinner with John and Andrew, called them to follow him. They each went and got someone else. John got James, his brother. Andrew got Peter, his brother. Philip got his friend, Nathaniel. Now, these guys are all coworkers too. So this is the interesting thing. Jesus harnesses existing relationships, and that's all we're asking you to do. Find a disciple maker. Some people got hung up like, well, how do I know if someone's a good disciple maker? You can use your spouse. If you and your spouse want to do this, do that. But that was the first thing Jesus did. And it's really interesting if you read John 1, because in John 1, it says that Jesus looked at Peter, and it says looked in our Bibles, but it's translated in the original. He studied him. It's the kind of look like when you see someone and you kind of give them once over, up and down, like, I see who you are. And so what he did is he studied him and said, men call you Simon, but you will be called Peter, the rock. And he did the same with Philip. He said, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile, or Nathaniel, sorry. And Nathaniel's like, how do you know me? Like Jesus saw the potential in these people and called them. And so it's amazing to me. This is how we're starting out, and it's working, brother. Who'd have thought doing what Jesus did would work, right? And you see it all throughout the New Testament. You see Paul grabbing a two, Barnabas. They bring somebody as well. They bring John Mark. People just gathering other people. to train him on the way. Paul, in his second missionary journey, goes nuts. He and Silas, and then he recruits Timothy. He keeps recruiting disciple makers, and he starts building this whole team like Jesus did. So, you know, the whole thing about the app that I just really want to emphasize is it is plug and play. It is so well done. The Discipology plan will, it's a game changer. I mean, I've had people, they look at the book and then they get the, as we mailed out both books, people got a little card that looks like a phone. And inside it had like a, hey, you know, scan this and go here. And they went, dropped straight into the Discipology plan. And they're like, dude, this is a game changer. And it's free. This is what I'm saying is, I can ask you guys to buy books for your leaders, and you should. Like, I would say take your people through the book. Take your leaders through the book. But we don't want to wait for you to start the movement. You start
saying, that's what I was actually waiting. I was waiting for you to come up for air.
I know, like, that was long. Yeah, sorry.
So I could ask that. I was like, okay, do they have to read the book? Do they need the journal? Are they good with the app? Like, what, yeah, what is necessary to go through the 4 weeks?
So I would say each one of your leaders, like your team, your small group leaders, your youth pastor, I would get them the Discipology hardback book. Like, that is your catalyst guide, and I see each one of them as a catalyst. So, but each one of them should activate three people right away. Just get them going. And you can be reading the black book as you go. Now, if you want to kick it up a notch for each of those people that you're activating, you get them the white book. You get them Journey to Disciple Making, because that's for disciple makers. So the black book is for the catalyst. The white book is for the
okay,
the,
but what is maker needed to go through the 4 weeks?
Like, only the app.
Okay.
Only the app. But the reason you would go through the journal, you don't have to.
No, I'm just wondering, like, if I'm bringing someone, do I also have to, like, all of a sudden go, by the way, you got to read this book. And I know you haven't read anything since junior high, but, you know, you got to go through this.
No, because it's such a bottleneck, right? In fact, the way, like, when you go in to the app and you're going through it, it'll say things like, hey, write down on a piece of paper. But if you have the journal, you know, you can go to, you know what day you're on at all times. But you say, hey, in that little spot where there's a light bulb, write three names of people that you've been praying about to know Jesus. So you write those three names. So it's all in one spot. And the lesson that you get on the audio guide is 240 minutes of audio, right? 10-minute sessions that's right. 240, because it's 24 times 10. Peyton's not very good on, 28, sorry, 280. Yeah, Peyton's not very good at math. Math is hard, but you have 280 minutes. So if you break them down, you might be like, oh, where was that? You know, I remember he said something about overcoming fear when you're doing this, because everybody's afraid. I don't remember what he said, but what he said was really helpful. The journal's a way to go back to that. And it's not word for word. It is not a transcript. I had to write the journal, and then I had to completely rewrite all the audio guides, because a copyright was Onderbin. And that was another thing they said yes to. They should not have said yes to me doing an app and making the book not necessary, but a helpful tool. And they did, because I explained to them, hey guys, if we don't let people get going unless they read a book, they'll never get going.
Right.
We gate it behind a book. You can't do that, especially with young people. And this has taken off with young people. So it's been cool, man. It has been the coolest thing. But the journal is helpful. The first time in my life, I'm like, and it's not a journal, by the way, you guys, with like a bunch of white pages and a couple of like questions, and then we make a bunch of money off you.
Hey, that's how I do my books.
No, it's actually a proper, and it's got QR codes that go to the place in the app for that day. So you just be in the journal and just zap, you know, you could read it, you could listen to it, whatever. It's all in one place. And you've got this, you do have usually half a page, sometimes a full page to write. Like, what was the Holy Spirit doing? Like, what happened when you did this with your who? Cause there's you, your two, And that's your number two. But we can't say number two because if Austin Powers ruined that for us. Who do you work for, number two? So we avoided saying you're number two. And then you're who? Your who is the person you've been praying for. It's the person that you're like, God wants you to set your sights on them and bring them to you. So sounds like who in Whoville, but it just is an easy way to tell you who we're talking about, you know. It's cool though. So you get to talk, and you know, we've got this whole thing about what was your biggest light bulb moment today? Like, what was your Holy Spirit aha? And to me, that's the favorite, because you are being trained by Jesus to do what the 12 did. And, you know, I make a statement in the intro to the Catalyst Guide Discipology. I basically said, look, I've been in some really, I stood and preached in Chuck Smith's pulpit once, and it was not on a Sunday. It was during a chapel on a, I think it was a Wednesday morning back in the 90s. I just remember thinking, I'm in Chuck Smith's pulpit right now preaching. Awesome. I have stood in Lloyd Jones's pulpit and preached. I have stood in Hal Harris's pulpit, who's one of Wesley's contemporaries, and preach. I have been in some cool pulpits in my lifetime. However, I would trade any pulpit experience to learn to do what Jesus trained the 12 to do. Trade it all. And so this is an opportunity, and I don't want it to sound like a commercial. I'm really excited because when you are able to do both, to preach and disciple making will absolutely revolutionize your preaching. I remember, you know, spending time disciple making when I used to spend all my time in the study. And when I started disciple making, my preaching got rich because it, like, not only were people coming to faith, but I was in their minds and in their lives and in their conversations every day. My preaching was so relevant, right? I was constantly learning what people were going through, and it was just powerful. So anyways, that's all I have to say about that. That's it. Just get it. Discipology.com.
Well, you're going to have to spell discipology because I don't know if you know this, but that's a made-up word.
You know, I make up words, and I'm really.
My dad was like, "Do you still talk to that Peyton guy?"
Did he?
Like, yeah. I go, yeah. He's like, yeah. He's got a new book coming out. Man, I'm seeing stuff about this everywhere. What was his first one? Plantology, and now he's got Discipology.
That guy makes up words. Darn dude. You know, it's funny because I actually am planning on sending your mom and dad, a book tomorrow. So
do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. So little handwritten note in there, like, hey guys, but I didn't do that for you. But I knew you also don't like books. You like Audibles. Can you imagine if I could do an Audible where it's like, hey Pete, this Audible's just for you.
I bet you AI could do that.
I would do this. Hey there, Pete.
Okay, people don't understand. Like, they're going to think about that t-shirt right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, if you're a longtime listener, you know what that's from. Pete's old tom-tom.
And if you're not a long-time listener, if you're not a long-time listener, that's probably best.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Pete wants that to remain in the archive, so we will leave it there. But, things that happened when we were talking to the leaders at Saddleback.
Oh, my gosh, man. Yeah.
All right, well, hey, I guess that's about all time I got.
Well, the ironic part is now that you've made making disciples so much easier, we've got all kinds of time, so we could actually do our own bookkeeping and accounting, right? Wait, no, there's a better option.
Yeah, Pete, you could actually spend your time disciple making, which means you wonder, how am I going to get my bookkeeping done? And there's an app for that too. But it's not the one the people I'm going to talk about don't have an app. So, who you want to talk to is Simplify Church. Maybe they have an app. I don't know. But I mean, is that really what you want in a bookkeeping service? That's the
best commercial ever. I don't know what they got there, but they're pretty good.
Let me tell you what, I mean, is that really your priority, is finding a bookkeeping service that has an app? Oh, please. You know, they actually spend their time doing your books rather than making apps. So Simplify Church, I use them. I've used them for years. I've used them with multiple organizations and churches. Use them with the church plant I'm planting right now. And they're fantastic. What they do is they actually do your bookkeeping. They'll send checks out for you. That's one of my, I don't ever talk about that. That's one of my favorite things. I'm like, hey, so-and-so needs a check. Here's the address. Check goes out. It's rad, dude. Like, that alone, just keeping me away from the mailbox is great.
So what number are you calling?
SimplifyChurch.com.
No, I'm just thinking I'm going to call them and say, hey, I'm part of Peyton's organization. Send a check to Pete Maverick Mitchell.
No one can make a check request unless, and we typically do it by email. So there's a paper
trail. Oh, even better. I can spoof an email, baby.
But I have to, CFO I have of a to, company. Nope. I have to be on it. So that's all I'm saying. And, anyways,
I'll put you on it. I'll put you on it. Don't you worry. I got you covered.
Yeah. This is problematic, huh?
You shouldn't have. See, you let the genie out.
But it's one of the best parts about their service. It honestly is. But there's always a person, and they got a quick response time. So this is a really long commercial. I mean, I had my little joke, and it was great. But now I feel like I have to compensate and tell you how wonderful they are. But I'm just
going to leave. No, they are. I mean, I've known Josh as long as you have, because you and I talked about all kinds of stuff, even unrelated to Simplify Church. We're always reaching out to each other on business stuff.
He has the best staff, brother. Like, honestly, they are really cool. So anyways, SimplifiedChurch.com. Definitely check them out. And with that, Pete, sign us out.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
Press one now.